assistant, Pierre Guadarrama. And, well, as you can see, I'm going to run a slideshow, and I'm going to show you what we've done through the 2003 to 2004 now. This is January, and we were at Lake Tahoe, and it was my first time going snowboarding. I had a lot of fun. Of course, I ate it a lot, but... And this is Roger. I'm sure you guys know Roger. He likes to get me on the spotlight a lot. So, and Miss Metcalf is a really good cook, and so we caught him eating that day at night. This is Roger again, and we, you know, things started to get kind of ugly after he saw us taking a lot of pictures of him. And this is Roger again. And, well, he ended up getting a black eye. I don't know how, but... Excuse me?
How did Roger get the black
eye? I don't know. He dove into the snow and somehow hit himself. I don't know how that happened. Well, this is David and Matt. This is our last day we went snowboarding. And they look pretty exhausted. This is Charlie, Tony, Gary and Tony's son. He went snowboarding with us that week. Sarah, Roger, and Katie. Roger got a cramp that day. a lot of skiing. Now this is the Pathfinder Fair, and as you can see, it's pretty crowded. But we have a lot of fun. We do booths, and I ran a soccer booth, which was pretty hard to run by myself. This is a Fallbrook staff. Vernon on the left, Aida, Miss Ferguson, Roger, and Bruce. And these are our North County coordinators, Gary and Tony Lewis. Last preparations on float. This is we did a float, and it was on Heavenly Ohana at Red Car, and it was the last preparations on that day. This is the other view, and this is what it turned out, and we got a first place on this car. This is the Fallbrook Pathfinders marching in. This is our Fallbrook float with, I believe it's Pastor Maxwell on the float. This is Scott. yeah. After all the clubs march in, all the teams go back and we all do a march. And as you can see, everybody's wearing white because white's our team shirt. And this is Scott. This is Pastor Maxwell and Scott and, yeah, Michelle. Yeah, and this is our club. This is a picture we took after it had ended. Now I'm going to talk to you about the honors we do here at our club, which are first aid, volleyball, and calligraphy. This is first aid. Mr. and Mrs. Bayfogle. Sorry if I didn't get it right. Here they are teaching us how to do pressure points where they are. Here's David and Bruce. David has just put a spleen on Bruce. Jesse and Elise. Once again. Alright, this is our volleyball honor. And, Miss... I forgot his name, sorry. Yeah, Mr. Atchison, sorry. And he's teaching us volleyball. Well, it's actually not an honor yet, but we're trying to make it an honor. And so we're trying to make rules and everything for it. And here we are practicing our how to hit it. Once again. And this is the one and only picture of calligraphy. And, yeah. Well, this picture, at this event, I wasn't able to attend. I did not get a call, so I would have liked to have gone. I believe they went to work. You guys all saw that there was fires when it was really hot. And so these are some of the Pathfinders that went to work. I think the trenches and stuff. There's Jeremy, he looks pretty exhausted. Jill and the teen counselor. Here we have a lot of supervisors, more supervisors than workers. And this is the crew that went. Now, also, we do can collecting. We go out to Temecula, and we go around blocks and collect cans. And that day we weren't able to collect as much because it was raining, but we did our best. And these are four girls that are pretty tired from walking along. And this is what we got, and this is the cat collecting crew. This is also an honor, rock climbing. And we did this on a Sunday. And we just got together and we went over to San Marcos, I believe. And there's an inside gym. And it's pretty tiring. This is Roger, a fearless leader. It's pretty scary though. This is Dexter. Cecilia. Matt, paying close attention. Man, these are four guys and tired. Girls got tired pretty quick. And this. This is my assistant, Pierre, and it takes courage, determination, and skills to get up there. This is a sharing and caring. We do this the first Saturday of the month, and we have a lot of fun talking to our friends. This is Dutch. I'm sure you guys all met him. Oh. And this is a Christmas party we had before the year ended. These are all the people that attended that day. And these are some of the games that were being played that day. We had a lot of fun playing those kind of games. It was pretty hard. Yeah. Well, Paul finished first, so he's eating his apple. And these girls just love whipped cream. I just dove right into it. And that's it. Hope you enjoyed it.
As you can see, we have a lot of activities in our club. For me, next time I'm going to have to preview because I had no idea what's up on the screen right now. Right now we're going to have a special by Dexter Cash. three different individuals. Two of them will be our two of our teen counselors. First would be Scott Fisk, and then Sarah Metcalf, and then Mr. Lewis, our coordinator for North County, will finish up.
Good morning. Before I do anything, I'd like to pray. Please bow your heads. Dear Jesus, Lord, please be with me. Please let your words come out of my mouth and not my own. And Lord, please help me not to be nervous. And Lord, please help me to remember that I am doing this for you. And Lord, please be with all those people that are in need of you. In your name I pray, amen. I'm a little nervous up here, so if I stutter, please bear with me. Okay. In my opinion, there is two ways how to serve God, which is through spiritually and helping. Spiritually is through saving someone's soul, while helping is through saving someone's physical life, although each of these have their own unique information. I like to start off with a subject called spiritually. We go to the Fallbrook Nursing Home and sing to the people that are there. We tell them that Jesus loves them, and we share with them some Bible information. 2 weeks ago, when we went at the first of this month to the Fallbrook Nursery Home, after we were done singing, we went to go sing to a man named Dutch, because not all the time does he come to hear us sing to him. When we went to his room, nobody was there. So we thought that maybe he may have switched a room. But what we found out, like, hit us in the face like a brick wall. Dutch had passed away. A lot of the things that we do spiritually may not appear right away. Like, if we do singing, like, in a group of Pathfinder, or like a group of, let's just say, juniors, within a junior group is a Pathfinder group. And one of the things that we did as collectively was we went to go sing in Fallbrook with Mrs. Meese to some people in a garage. Another story I'd like to share with you is something that we do called can collection. Now, the cans that we get, we turn into the church. Normally, we give it to the church gives it to the women's ministry. And since some of our moms are in the women's ministry, we got to go with them on the trips to give out the food baskets. On one of those trips, there was a woman who needed food badly. After we were done giving her food, she asked us who we were and what church we're from. We told her that we are the Fallbrook English Pathfinders and come from the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist English Church. After that, a Pathfinder and his family shared some Bible verses with her. The next object I'd like to bring up is helping. Within our Pathfinder group, we have teen counselors. On the day we had inspection, Mr. Lewis asked us if we wanted to help with fire relief victims in Paradise Valley. Our immediate answer was yes. I tell you, what I've seen, I've never seen through all my workings with the Marietta Fire Department. To my surprise, the person that was the victim was Sylvia Hooper's sister. What happened is there was a lot of mud, and when the rains came, it washed the mud right into her house. So what we did is we built a brick wall and put sandbags around her house. I tell you, I never knew sandbags could be so heavy. To start to conclude the sermon, I'd like to share some Bible verses with you. The first one I'd like you to turn to is John 13:34. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the back of the pew in front of you. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The second verse I'd like to talk to you is Acts 9:36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. When we used to feed the homeless, I came across a very interesting story once. A homeless man that was there said that he had read part of the New Testament, but he said that it referred so much to the Old Testament that he desperately needed the Old Testament. Plus, he only had part of the New Testament. So one of our parents that was with us said that he had a Bible with him and took compassion on the man. So he told him this: "I will give you the Old and the rest of the New Testament." Saying this, he gave the Bible to the homeless man. We never saw anyone happier than that man. I believe we Pathfinders have demonstrated what this verse has said. One more thing before I finish the sermon. On most of our sashes, we have some patches labeled Friend, Companion, Explorer, Ranger, Voyager, Guide, and Master Guide. Friend means that we are a friend to one another. Companion means that we are a companion to one another. Although both of these are similar, they have some differences. Explorer means that we have explored this planet through community service and deeds. Ranger means that we protect this planet. In our society, we have like a ranger that can protect animals. Us Pathfinders, we try to do both. Voyager means we are the ultimate explorer, meaning we have understood what we have seen and understood why we've done like community service. Guide means that we are a guide to people around us, meaning that we can guide them through certain deeds. And last but not least, Master Guide. This means that we have mastered Friend, Companion, Explorer, Ranger, Voyager, and Guide. Thank you.
That was lovely, Scott. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today, I was told to speak to you about service. Actually, I was asked. But first, I would like to pray. Please, Lord, guide us this morning as we sit and listen to the words that you have given to us. Please, Lord, guide my words and help them to me, not my own. And thank you for the many blessings that I have. Please, Lord, guide us this Sabbath day and keep us safe as we each go our separate ways. And in your name I pray, amen. In school, there's a lot of various groups. I go to Fallbrook High School, and there's a lot of different people there. They each kind of have their own group. There's a group that is pretty random. They kind of go up to people and applaud them at random. And there's a group about popular girls, and they all seem to dress the same. And there's a gothic group, and they always dress in black, and they always have their hair dyed. Thank you. And just many diverse different groups. But then there's Tim. Tim doesn't really have a group. He's a little on the odd side, I guess you would say. And his struggle for acceptance in the high school is really overwhelming. He tries really hard to be accepted, but often in ways that are a little bit overwhelming. The explanation for his social stature is revealed as his high-water jeans and his military-cut blonde hair come toward me every day. I know people laugh at him behind his back, and I know that I am guilty even of doing that. And I just knew in my heart that God was telling me that it could go on no longer. I knew that he needed someone to reach out to him, and so I just kind of followed God's lead, and one day I talked to him, and I talked to him about movies he liked, something that I could take out of him that he would just be able to talk about and express himself and not have to worry about what people were thinking about him. And we got to talking a little bit, and it was time for me to go. It was nutrition, and I had to go to my locker. And so I smiled at him before I left, and it was astounding, the look on his face. His eyes had gotten... He seemed in awe, almost, that someone could talk to him just like a normal human being. And I think the most rewarding part was mine, because I got to see how God could use me in order to touch someone else. And the smile on his face was amazing. Service to the Lord, to me, is looking past the shame and looking past the humiliation and the self-sacrifice it takes, and just doing what your master has told you to do. I'd like to read from Deuteronomy 10:12 in your Bibles. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. It says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord, your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Serve your God with all your heart and all your soul. Commit yourself to saying, "God, I am looking past things of this earth, and I am looking past what my friends have told me, and even what my parents have told me, and what my church has told me. I am looking past things like that, and I am looking to you. I am looking to you for guidance." But this isn't easy. Sometimes being a servant, it's just not something that you want to do. I know that many times God has wanted me to do things, and I've just refused. I knew that people would laugh at me, and I knew that people wouldn't want to accept me, and I couldn't go through it. And after, I think the regret of not doing what God has told me was greater than the humiliation that I would have experienced. But this is exactly why we need to serve other people, is because the humiliation is something that God needs us all to realize, that we are not here to serve ourselves, but to serve the Lord. Thank you so much for letting me talk to you today, and I am so glad that I am in Pathfinders and that I have all these nice people around me, and I just ask that the Lord will be with you all today.
Good morning, congregation. It's great to be back in Fallbrook. It's especially great to be here for a Pathfinder Day. Exciting to see the Pathfinders involved in the programming, being up front here. And when you sit back here, you get a new understanding of why we have pulpits, is we have something to hang on to when we're shaking, and cover it up just a little bit. But God is good. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we have come to your house of worship. We've come seeking a blessing. We've come seeking forgiveness. This morning we ask that your Spirit continue to be with us. So when we leave this house today, we know we've been with you, and that you'll go with us. We ask in your name, amen. Now when Roger asked me to do this, I asked him, well, how long? He said, 10, 15 minutes. Then I asked him before I came on stage, what time we shut down? He says, 1 o'clock. I'm not sure I have that much material, but we'll see what we can do. Is that not correct? 1 o'clock? That's just what he told me. I asked. So we'll see what we can do here. We'll try not to make it too short here for you. This morning we want to look at our Pathfinder theme for this year is called SOS, Serving Our Savior. As our two young people have just told you, what they have done serving their God. That's what pathfinding is all about. How do we serve our God? This morning I want to look at an example that's given in the Bible. It's in the first book of Samuel. The first book of Samuel talks about a Levite by the name See, I'm nervous too. It doesn't come with just age. I'm still nervous. Elkanah and his wife Hannah. And they went every year down to the temple to do their yearly sacrifice. But Hannah was not very happy for more than one reason. For one reason, Elkanah had two wives, so she had a little bit of competition. The other wife had lots of children. She had none. And she kept pleading with the Lord, "Give me a child. Give me a child." And as the years were progressing and nothing was happening, no children were coming, she began to get desperate because the other woman was mocking her, saying, "Well, if God loved you, you would have children. Obviously, God doesn't love you. Something's wrong." So on one of her trips to the tabernacle, she decided to make it a matter of utmost prayer. And folks, prayer changes things. And she put it to the test. She was so serious about it that the high priest thought she was drunk because of the way she was carrying on. He said, "This woman's not normal. People don't pray like this. People just come in, do their real thing, and quit banging, they're gone. I did my prayer. That's all I need to do." And they wonder why their prayers are not answered. But this woman was putting everything on the line with God. And Eli came up to her and he said, "Woman, what is the matter? Are you drunk?" She said, "No, I'm in distress. I'm pleading with my God." And Eli says, if you'll read there in chapter 1, "Woman, may your desires be granted." And she went away. And God granted her prayer. She said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. His hair will never be cut. His life of service will be to you. I will give him back to you." Now, today in our society, we don't have what we call Nazarites, which means they are never to, which means when you raise a child as a Nazarite. There were several mentioned in the Bible. Samuel was one of them. Samson was another one. Their hair is never to be cut. They're never to touch alcohol or things that would pollute the body. Today, our parents dedicate our young people at birth or shortly thereafter. Dedicate them to the Lord for their service. And sometimes, young people, we forget that our parents have done that. We forget that our parents have dedicated us to the service of God. And we go about our own way, saying it's really not important. Sometimes we as parents forget that we have dedicated our young people to God. We let them do things that are not representative of their God. This was something that Eli had forgotten with his sons. He did not restrain them. He did not discipline them. They had brought shame to the nation because of their leadership role and their lack of discipline at home. But Hannah, when she had her baby, she said, "This baby is for the Lord. I am so grateful just to have had him." When he was at a very, very young age, she took him to the temple and says, "Look, Eli, I know my son is very young, but I have dedicated him to the service of the Lord, and he is to be in the temple." She says, "I will come once a year to visit." How many of you mothers would give up your child of 4 or 5, or maybe 3 years of age, to have be dedicated totally to the service of the church and only get to see them once a year. That's what this mother did. She dedicated her child to the Lord. When she would go home after her visit, after she gave him to Eli, she did not forget about her son. She does what most women do, most mothers do. They pray for their children. How often? Once a year? Once a week? Every day. And that's what Hannah did. Scripture says she prayed for her son every day. Not just for his safety and well-being. What did she pray for? She prayed that he would be used in the service of God. That he would understand his role in the salvation of mankind. That he would be used as a tool to reach fallen mankind. And that should be our prayers, parents, for our children. Not just for their safety and their well-being and that they're happy and that they become rich and famous. Our prayers should be for our young people that they will understand God's love for them and what God has in mind for them. Because young people, God has a plan for you, each one of you. If you remember the story of Samuel, when he was yet very young, we don't know the exact age. Maybe he was a teenager. Maybe he wasn't even that old yet. Sleeping one night, he hears his name called. And being an obedient person who had been given all different kinds of jobs in the church, from cleaning the bathrooms to vacuuming the floors to doing the dusting, Mrs. White says that he did it to the best of his ability, even though some of the jobs were kind of not much fun. But he did it because of who he was working for. He knew he was working for God. And when you are working for God, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If God asks you to clean the bathrooms, it's okay. If God asks you to preach the sermonette, it's okay. If God, whatever it is that God asks you to do it and be cheerful. That's all he asks you to do. If he wants you to do something different, he'll ask you something different. But he called Samuel in the middle of the night. And Samuel, not knowing what God's voice sounded like, ran to Eli and said, "What do you want? Why are you calling me in the middle of the night? What's the matter?" Eli wakens up. "What are you talking about? Are you having dreams, son?" "It's okay, I'm fine. Go back to bed. I didn't call you." Well, Samuel goes back to bed. "Okay, whatever." Pretty soon he hears the voice again. "I know I heard it this time. I wasn't dreaming." He runs to Eli. Eli's a little bit disturbed. "Man, I'm trying to sleep. What are you waking me up for?" He says, "No, I didn't call. Just go relax." The third time, he runs to Eli. And Eli, at this time, he says, "Something's happening. Somebody is calling this child. That can only be one person because there's nobody else here in the temple tonight. It must be God." So he tells Samuel, "If you hear the voice again, this is what you are to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Do you suppose Samuel went back to sleep that night? Not a chance. Mrs. White said he was there with fear and trembling. Is he going to speak again? Is it really God? Because you see, things had deteriorated so bad in the nation that there was not a current prophet. There was not somebody receiving direct communication from God in an audible or visual way. And here he was, just a young child, working in the church under the head pastor. Why wasn't God talking to the pastor? Why is he talking to me? I'm the janitor. I'm just doing all the odds and ends and the errands in the church. Can you imagine what Samuel was thinking? And the voice came again. "Samuel." He sat up in bed. "Oh yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening." He didn't remember exactly what Eli had said to say. He said it wrong. He was that nervous. Wouldn't you be nervous? I would be nervous. I'd be petrified. He said, I'm listening. And God gave him a message. Do you suppose he went back to sleep? I don't think so. The next morning he hurried up to go out and do his chores. He didn't want to run into Eli because the message was not good news for Eli. It was bad news. And he didn't want to have to face Eli because he knew Eli was going to be asking him what God had said. And sure enough, Eli saw him. He says, Samuel, come here. What did God tell you last night? And don't leave anything out. And Samuel told him the bad news. Why do I bring this up, young people? It's because God is calling you, and you, and you, and you, every one of you. You may not hear the voice. And you may not see flashes of light. But does that mean God is not calling you? God is calling you today. You say, well, I don't hear him. Maybe there's a reason you're not hearing him. Maybe it's because you have your CD player turned up a little too high. Maybe some of those activities you're involved in during the week are taking too much of your attention. Maybe some of the other things that you are doing or not doing are consuming your time instead of listening. But God is calling. He's calling each one of us every day. Sometimes, I know in my own life, I just have to stop a little bit and say, Lord, I need to hear your voice again. I haven't heard it for a while. Speak to me. Quiet me down. Let me hear your still, small voice. And you know, most of the time when God speaks to me, it's like he did for Samuel. It's not in the rush of the day. It's in the still, quiet hours of the morning. In fact, it usually does it pretty early in the morning. Usually around 3 o'clock, 2:30. And I'll hear his voice. And he'll lay out a problem for me or help me resolve an issue. Or he'll lay a burden on me to do something that needs to be taken care of. Then comes the difficult task, like Sarah said. Sometimes you don't really want to do it. But when God speaks, he says, this is the task I want you to do. But don't worry. I will go with you. You see, when God asks you to do something, Pathfinders, he doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. He says, I will go with you. No matter what. The question is, will you go with Jesus and do what he asks you to do? You see, the pen of inspiration in the book of Patriarchs and Prophets says there is no greater calling for anybody than to do that which the Lord has bidden you to do. It doesn't matter how it's perceived by everybody else in the church or by everybody else at school. In our society, we say, this job up here, wow, man, they've really reached something. You know, they're rich and they're famous and they're powerful. If only I could be like them. But maybe God is not calling you to do that. And you know what? You can be thankful if God isn't calling you to do that. And I'll tell you why. Because my Bible tells me that for that person who has lots of money, who drives nice vehicles, who lives in a fancy house, who has lots of power, my Bible says it's very, very hard for that person to get into heaven. Do you know that? That's what my Bible says. He says it's easier for you pathfinders to get into heaven than it is for the rich and the famous. Now, is that good news? That's good news for me, too. I know it's easy to aspire to want this and I want that and I want bigger this and I want bigger that. But God said, bigness on this earth makes it tougher to get into heaven. You know what, Pathfinders? There's nothing better than heaven. Nothing on this earth is better than heaven. One thing I want to talk to you about this morning. I still say I've got lots of time, yet, so we're all right. Why do I want to go to heaven? Why do I want to be there? Why do I want to do all these things? You see, these things are not going to get me to heaven. The only thing that's going to get me to heaven is being with Jesus, doing what Jesus asked me to do. And if you're not sure what Jesus is asking you to do, ask Him to show you. And He will. I promise. He may not show you the instant that you ask. You may have to keep reminding Him, Lord, show me what it is you want me to do. But when you do that with sincerity, God will answer that prayer. And He will show you. But as we walk with God, as we do those things that He has asked us to do, that's what's going to take us to the kingdom. Not all the things that we do. It's who we do them with and who we do them for. Because you see, when I get to heaven, the Lord said He has a large banquet table set up for us. This table is so long that I am sure it's going to be longer than it is from here to San Francisco. And that's a long table, folks. And I'm going to sit down at that table and I'm going to be looking around to see who I know. And it's going to be interesting because I'm going to see somebody sitting over here and I say, man, I recognize you, but I can't place who you are. And they'll say, you know what? I was at Fallbrook Church. You don't recognize me because when you were there, I had gray hair and I had lots of wrinkles and I had glasses. And all those things are gone now. Now I have a full head of hair. I have no more wrinkles. I can stand like a Marine. I can stand straight. Oh yeah, I remember. I remember you. I had some Pathfinder come and say, do you remember me? I said, well, when I saw you last, you were about this tall, and now you're up here. That's right. God is good. And as we're looking down the table, all the way from San Francisco, we're looking down this table, miles and miles, hundreds of miles long. I can see a very, very large person down near the other end of the table. I'm thinking, man, who is this giant? This can't be. So I start strolling down there. I got to find out who this tall person is. I get down to the end there. This person's huge. I've never seen anybody this tall. I mean, you know, these basketball people that we have today, they're kind of overgrown, you know. Shoot, man. They're little. This dude's huge. So I go up and I say, hello up there. What's your name? He looks down and says, oh, hi, Gary. My name's Abel. I'm son of Adam. I'm so glad you're here. And you think I'm exaggerating. But do you realize Abel's going to be about 14 feet tall? That means if I'm lucky, I can reach his hand when it's hanging down at his side. He says, let me introduce you to my parents. And about that time, Roger's coming up because he wants to see who this tall dude is that I'm talking to. And up comes this stunning woman and husband. I mean, their eyes just sparkle. Their eyes penetrate. I've never seen eyes like they have. And she smiles, and you just melt. Because she's way up there, too. I mean, she's huge. She is huge and gorgeous. And right next to her is this handsome guy standing next to her. I mean, it's just, it makes these models on this earth look like, where did they get them from? And she reaches down and she says, hi, nice to see you. I'm glad you're here. But she has to stoop quite a ways to reach because I'm so far down here. Because I'm not very tall. And then there's Roger. He's standing next to me. He says, oh, you guys are the ones that were in Pathfinders. And so what does she do? She reaches us down and picks us one up in each arm. Just like I would a 3-year-old child. There's Roger on one side and I'm on it. She said, let's go for a walk. I'll show you the garden where we used to live. Let me show you around while you tell me what you did with Pathfinders. She says, how you guys doing? I says, you know what? Put me down. I'm embarrassed. You know, I'm an adult. No, she said, you're just a kid. You're not even 100 years old yet. You hadn't even started to live. That's exactly right, Pathfinders. When you get to 100, you haven't even started to live yet. You're just a kid at 100. See, I get to grow up again. You think I'm done growing now? No, when I get to heaven, I get to grow up again. I get to grow up to be really big and really good looking. Okay? Now, Roger, you can do the same thing, all right? There'll be two handsome guys up there. All right? But Pathfinders, heaven is beyond our imagination. You know, I have on my website one of my favorites that I like to go to. It's called Astronomy Photo of the Day. It's put out by NASA. And each day they put out a new picture from the universe, from the telescopes, from the Hubble and from different telescopes that they have. This morning it was on Saturn with the rings around it. Beautiful picture. My God said that when I get to heaven, I can travel to see these things. So I'm going to do that. So you guys there are at the banquet table, you're going to see Mr. Lewis going zipping on by. You're going to say, man, where is he going at that speed? I'm going to say, come on with me. I just heard about this galaxy. It's 10 million light years away. It's going to take us a couple hours to get there, but we're going to go. How far is a light year, folks? Do you remember? A light year. Remember, light travels at 186,000 feet per second. That's almost three times around the globe in an hour. You do that for a whole year at that speed. That's one light year. The galaxy I'm going to go visit first is 10 million light years away. Be there just a real short time. Because on that galaxy, there's some interesting beings that I've never seen, I've never imagined. And they're waiting for a visit from somebody from this earth. Why? Why do they want a visit from us? Because we're the only ones who have been saved by the love of Jesus. And they want to know what it's all about. They want to know what God did to save me, a sinner. They want to hear. And they want to hear from you. Because they have never experienced God's salvation. Because they have never sinned. We will have a song to sing that nobody else can sing. Because God died for us. He died for you, and He died for me. Heaven holds things that we have never dreamed of. You know, I can see God bringing me my first apple. And it won't be one of these little things that fits in my hand like we have now. This apple is going to be so big, it's going to make your soccer balls look small. You think I'm kidding, I know. But that's how big my God is. When we, as sinful humans, can take a cantaloupe and grow it to the size of a soccer ball or a basketball, my God can raise an apple that makes that look puny. And I can imagine what His cantaloupe must look like. But wait till you taste it. It's going to make your chocolate taste like, oh man, that brown stuff we walk on every day. God's fruit is going to be so exciting. When you bite into it, you are going to feel invigorated. You're going to feel alive. You're going to want to jump for joy. That's because God made it just for you to enjoy. And He says it's for you all you want. It's never going to run out. Enjoy it. That's what heaven's going to be like. I want to be there, don't you? It's going to be exciting. It's not going to be one of these short-term things for 70, 80 years, and then we have to die and it's all over with. It's none of that stuff. It goes on and on and on. And you say, I'm going to get bored. Oh, no, you won't get bored. There's going to be so many places to visit, so many things to do, so many things to see. You'll never get bored. You'll be learning more and more and more. And it's all going to point back to Jesus. What Jesus did for us. And people are going to ask you constantly, what was it like? What did it feel like to be saved by Jesus from sin? And you will have that witness that nobody else can give. my challenge to you this morning, young people. Ask God to reveal His will for you. Ask Him what it is you want Him to do with your life. Adults, the same goes for you. We're not too old to ask for God's direction. Maybe we've gone down a path on our own. Maybe we've caught up making money, caught up doing things, caught up being somebody. But we left God back on the street. We don't have to go back to the street to find God. Just turn around. God's right behind you. He's been pursuing you. Just now at the end of the service, ask God, Lord, I want to come back. Put your hand back in my hand. I want to hang on. I want to do what you want me to do, and I want to do it with you. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you want me to go out and be the gardener. It doesn't matter if you want me to go out and be the preacher. It doesn't matter if you want me to be the teacher or the Pathfinder leader. If that's what your call want me to do, Lord, I will do it the very best that I can. As we do it together with God, you will be successful. And you will make it to the kingdom. Because that's God's promise. Thank you, and God bless.